Phoenix Comic Con, and it's Sunday the 26th with Mike Isham, and what was your name?
Jacob Breckenridge.
I saw that coming from a mile away.
That's a good stall.
But you still didn't come up with anything.
We went too poorly.
That was for a comic effect. So, you guys are here at Comic Con, and you're two local Tucson artists. So, why are you in Phoenix?
Because we felt that Phoenix really was lacking the sort of talent and, you know, warmth that only Tucsonans can bring. So we came up here and decided to share ourselves with them.
Sell more books, because we have a huge fan base out here in Phoenix. There's like a million people that were asking for us to come out, and popular demand just drove us out here.
So you guys brought a million books to sell?
Yeah, we totally brought a million books. As you can see, they can't hear it, but as you can see, there's a million books on this giant wall behind me that are just falling all over the place.
Of which we have sold, I would say, somewhere around 975,000.
Yes.
Yeah, well, I did notice there's a huge line, and I'm actually taking up a lot of your time, because there's fans just lined up behind me.
Yeah, well, we always have time for a Ronstadt, so
that's a good thing. So you're now is this? I always have trouble with the lexicon in this group of people. So is this a comic book? Is it a graphic novel? I mean, how do you classify this thing?
Comic book. It's a comic book.
So it's called Orbital Decay. And I always screw it up, but it's like Star Trek meets Naked Women or something. You had a thing you used to say about it.
It's somebody described it really well as Star Trek meets Archer, but it's basically it's a sci-fi parody, but it's very Star Trek heavy. And if you strip away really any morality or nobility from the people in the Enterprise, then the idiots in our book are the people that you're left with. So.
That's right, because we were talking about this before. You said it's like Star Trek without the Prime Directive.
Exactly. That's exactly how we've been describing it to people. Like, if you just leave regular people in charge of this very noble enterprise, you know, what actually goes on, that's what happens, is accidental deaths and chaos. And
piracy.
Yeah, like people embarrassing the human race.
That's awesome. So you have two issues out. Can you tell us, you know, give us a little synopsis of the storyline, where it's gone so far, and maybe some hints about where it's going?
Yeah, in the first one we just introduce all the characters. In the second one we actually get them out into space, and then they meet an alien race. And so basically we're going to have what happens when they meet the alien, they make first contact with the alien race, and any good things or bad things that might happen with that.
I assume it'll be mostly bad.
Oh, yeah, I didn't want to do any spoilers, but yeah, it'll definitely be bad, to be honest. That's the plan. I mean, they're going to screw everything up, and you can expect that around every turn they're going to screw everything up.
Yes. It ends badly for many people.
Right.
All right, so you have two issues out. You have planned like 5 issues, 10 issues. How long are you going to drag this thing out?
Well, we're gonna stop at number 3 and then never make any more. No, we're gonna just keep it going. It's gonna start off, the first few are gonna be a little arc, and then once we get everything in place, we're gonna just do issue by issue as long as we can.
Yeah, the first 4 issues or so are gonna be to set up the universe, and then the idea is to have an ongoing series. We already have a few story ideas for bigger story arcs that we want to do later on down the road, so you know, we're excited about wrapping this one up and getting started with those.
So you actually have a plan, your universe, your storylines are planned out?
Yeah, I mean, we plan out each storyline as we go through it. Sometimes we, you know, have to go back and revisit it a little bit, but I mean, it's if you go through and you actually put the effort into planning out at least each story arc, then it makes your job a lot easier.
Okay, so let me ask you this question. How many cases of beer equal one story arc?
I think it's more like how many cups of coffee equal one story arc.
With whiskey in them.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
But my favorite thing about it, that it's a comedy, but we also want to develop a world that's its own outside of Star Trek. So that's the thing that I'm most proud of, is that it's its own true storyline with people and races that we take care of and we hold true to make sense of that. If that makes sense.
Yeah, that's a really good point. It's as much as we say it's a Star Trek parody, it really is its own thing. And it's a parody in so much as like certain like some of the ideas, not the characters or the like ships themselves, just some of the ideas that you see in Star Trek, like the Noble Explorer, and there's peace and everybody gets along. It's you know, these guys are selfish. They're more like actual people, and we set up a unique universe that they exist in.
And that's to answer your other question, your earlier question. We do have those ideas planned out, where we want these characters to go and how we want them to grow and develop and what all their personalities are. And that's basically where we start from, and then each one's its own little thing. We just, like you said, drink.
So these characters are actually three-dimensional.
Right.
Yeah.
At least in our minds, they're three-dimensional.
Well, you know, sometimes with parodies, you see a lot of stereotypes,
right?
And you know, the easy joke kind of thing. But it sounds like over time, you want to have really fully developed characters that operate off of their own compasses.
Yeah, exactly. And that's really where it comes from. A parody. We're more branching off the parodies of the stereotypical characters rather than. I feel like a lot of parodies will go, oh, these are the jokes that they normally tell in sci-fi, or these are the things that are weird about sci-fi. But our parody starts with, these are the atypical characters that you see in different sci-fi books and how they react to different situations.
And we are going to touch on, you know, the stereotypes and the cliches. That's part of what got us interested in doing the idea in the first place.
Yeah, that's sort of the low-lying fruit.
It's not, I mean, yeah, but also the fact that we both grew up watching Star Trek and loving Star Trek and science fiction and like Stargate SG-1 and all these other programs that, you know, we love, and it's kind of like family, like your younger brother. Like, you can make fun of your younger brother, but somebody else better not do it. So it's easy to make fun of the thing that you love because you know it so well. So we're going to make fun of it, but we're also going to do our own thing with it as well. Like, it's not going to be just a straight, like if you were to take something like Dracula Dead and Loving It for like Mel Brooks, where it was, they really just took the Francis Ford Coppola Dracula movie and just made fun of that movie and made fun of some of the things that happened in that movie and some of the older Dracula movies. But like, for us, it was, well, let's also make fun of, like, it's not just these shows, but some of the ideas that are brought up in them, and so other things that we think would just be funny to make fun of about space travel in general.
So you guys, I mean, aside from just the parody aspect, you can throw your own voice in there and start making your own sort of social commentary and
That's originally where the idea even started from for me. It was I think that I wanted to explore how people would probably really react given this technology and things like that, and what situations might really arise from it, you know, as opposed to just everybody being peaceful.
Well, then let me sort of get philosophical with you guys, because it sounds like, you know, I guess if you think about the trajectory of technology, and you would hope that as technology changes, that the culture and the morality sort of adapts to what's available and what's possible. But it's sort of, you know, I read the first issue, and just sort of thinking about what you're saying right now, it seems like maybe you're taking somebody from 2013 with their sensibilities and their morality and giving them all these great toys and then seeing what happens.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess you could say that Gene Roddenberry was a lot more optimistic than I was about what technology would leave people with, you know. So, but yeah, that's exactly what I intend to get across in there, is what you just said.
All right, so who writes and who draws? Or do you both sort of participate?
Well, we get together and we write up a synopsis, kind of agree on a storyline, and then I go off and write it and then submit it to him to draw it, and then he'll kind of, we have kind of veto power over each other's work. So if, as he's going through and he's lettering the book, you know, getting the words in there and everything for us, if he doesn't like the way something's worded, or he has an alternate joke he wants to put in there, then he'll do that, and then we go over it together later on and change things as we need to.
So Jacob, you're actually carrying the water on this?
Yeah, he really is.
It's a heavy weight. I'm like Sisyphus, and this is my giant rock that I'm just carrying all the time.
Is your giant rock named Mike Leisham?
I write a bunch of really inappropriate jokes and send them to him, and he has to try to make sense of whatever nonsense I throw at him. So.
Yeah, we both run jokes back and forth, and we kind of come up on this plot line together. And Mike really hammers out the plot line and these jokes in there, and I'll add jokes in as I'm writing. That's always going to happen, at least as I'm illustrating. I mean, we'll always add jokes in at any point. But yeah, he's really the make sure all the strings are tied and all the plot lines are together and things like that, because I can't keep track of that stuff inside my head. Yeah, so he's really good about that.
And the thing that I've gotten better with as we've gotten, like, as we're getting further into the process, is writing better descriptions, because neither one of us had ever done this before, so I would just write dialogue and send it to him and then just leave it to him to decide how he wanted everything to look. And then over time, I've started to take a more active role in that. So it's definitely way more, like, the scale is way more tipped in his direction in terms of, like, work and effort, but I tend to take care, you know, as far as the, like, but I also am the guy who's out there, like, I'm the guy who's out there, like, I'm the one meeting with all the comic book store owners and the employees and kind of networking. And
well, you can't draw a story unless you have a story.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, so, I mean, that answers the question.
Well, I want to, you know, when the really, really bad breakup occurs, I want to know who's Lennon, who's McCartney.
I don't want to...
He's more like Ringo, and I'm George Harrison. We'll say that, right?
Yeah, that's pretty... I'm kind of a one-trick pony.
So you'll be...
He's extremely talented and sensitive, yeah.
You'll be doing the B-movies with large-breasted women down the line?
Yeah, and then hopefully I get to marry a Bond girl, so...
I just want to input that I will also still be doing B-movies with large-breasted women down the road, so... It's not exclusive.
That's why you get into this, right? That's the point.
All right, cool. Anything else you guys want to add?
No, I mean, you know, check out our website, orbitaldecaycomic.com. Jacob's website for his is Comedy of Jacob Breckenridge. He's...
That sums it up. He forgot that it's .com, the comedy of Jacob Breckenridge .com.
Not org, not or edu, or gov.
It's not XXX either?
No, not... Oh, yeah, that's the good one. Mike will be on XXX later. Yes. And there's the overhead. That's my friend talking really loud in the background right there.
And also, he posts a really cool webcomic through his website that he puts up every week. Definitely worth checking out. It's pretty funny.
Now, is that cutting into your business plan here?
No, because he does
free stuff. Why should I buy the cow when Breckenridge is given away for free?
I really have no good answer, because that's an excellent point.
Well, I would like to point out that proves the point that he's the pitch guy, because he pitched my website for me, and I barely said anything about it.
We did develop a really good relationship at the Tucson Con, where, like, he was drawing, just kind of quietly drawing, and I was, you know, the used car salesman trying to draw everybody in with all my crap. So.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you.